Not that the news was much better.
In a solar system full of discoveries, long voyages, gripping stories, international intrigue, wars, wonders, beautiful young men, and butterflies, the network keeps reporting on Hollywood and Bollywood and Catholic priests. It's like Vishnu and Zeno were secret lovers, and this is their child, an unbounded entity whose resources are ever-expanding and whose focus is ever smaller and more ordinary, like Kali taking up crochet.
The leather complained lightly as Greg shifted his weight to make room for the mist of bemusement that rose up around him, but the announcer didn't heed his critique and burst out boldly.
With more offices in more countries and more colonies than any other network, bringing you the solar system at your fingertips, you're watching the Terran Global Network. This is TGN.
The well-paid paternal voice oozed sex, comfort, and excitement behind the flashy motion graphics. The screen resolved to show an anchor who looked like he was having far too much fun for someone whose job it was to parrot sincerity and concern.
And now we take you live to the steps of the Capitol building in Washington, D.C., where Karis Chandler is covering the developing situation.
Thanks, Trent. It's been 14 hours since Senator Shelley was supposed to appear here on the Capitol steps. At 5 this morning in the sleet, his chief of staff emerged and told us that the senator had been unexpectedly detained by an emergency session of the Space Affairs Subcommittee. We've been assured that the senator will join us all out here as soon as he can, but at this hour, as the ice hardens on the Capitol steps, we still keep vigil until the senator emerges. This is Karis Chandler for TGN on Capitol Hill. Back to you, Trent.
Greg turned down the speaker on the table between them to a barely audible level to spare them both the incessant punditry over nothing.
I think they just made your point for you, Greg.
Doug chuckled and watched the ticker for anything of interest while covertly scraping the edge of a nail file along the sides of his fingers to keep him alert. Greg shifted his improbably tall frame around in the leather uncomfortably. He was out here as protest, even though Luna's vital industries had all been built on the Tycho crater for what the Terrans laughingly called environmental concerns, namely that the view from Earth would be spoiled. And even though the tunnels in Darkseid had long overgrown their design capacity, the U.S. appointees that ran the development committee found it easier to ignore the fact that the cities in Tsiolkovsky even existed. But they couldn't ratify a vote without the participation of the representative of the planet's neglected spaceward side. So there he sat, in a cloud of his own imperiousness, and bitched about the sins of the 24-hour news cycle.
I would happily watch endless coverage on a missing child, or a plane crash, or some other meaningless thing. It was never news, but it is entertaining. But these imbeciles, these incompetents, these puerile children, they've gotten so full of themselves that they spent 14 hours of continuous coverage commenting on the symbolic significance of an empty staircase. Face it, Reeves, this sad sack isn't coming out.
Reeves pulled a slip of paper out of his pocket and scribbled a note on it, then set it down on the table in front of the representative from Darkseid.
I'll bet you 2 kilos of shade that he comes out in the next 10 minutes.
Singh picked up the paper and looked suspiciously over at Doug.
You have an ace up your sleeve? This is chess, not poker. Aces won't avail you.
Reeves smirked.
Take the bet and find out.
It may not have been quite fair, but Doug knew that Greg was bored enough to take the bet. Besides, if the allegedly honorable representative of the bowels of industry hadn't been diligent enough to find out who it was that had sponsored Reeves' appointment to the Lunar Court, he deserved to lose. So Doug smiled quietly to himself while his opponent chewed the proposition intently, looking from time to time at the paper as if it were a golden ticket in a world where gold was particularly valuable. Greg was a canny, leathery old bastard, a grandnephew of one of the first families to settle in Tsiolkovsky, part of a large group of Indian expatriates fleeing the war with Pakistan. His family had founded the city of Darkseid, built up its energy infrastructure that now fed power to the rest of the moon and sold surplus back to several nations on Earth. Its combination of solar mirrors, reactors, and hydrocarbon mining produced more energy every day than all the cities on Luna could use in a month. It was Luna's largest cash industry, the one that had established it as the undisputed powerhouse of the off-world colonies, and the one that made it the chief threat to the stability of the Persian Empire.
How long are you going to let them sweat before you go back in and offer the New Deal?
Doug reached down to the table between them and moved his knight into position to cover his rook and queen.
Americans,
Greg snorted.
Some things are matters of principle. Not everything is a negotiating tactic.
He moved his bishop to threaten Doug's knight, then sat back with another smirk, casting a covert glance at the silent display screen hanging above them.
Now that man, Alcock, he knew how to negotiate. He picked his stage name just right. Sums him up beautifully.
He mumbled something under his voice that sounded suspiciously like...
Fucking prick.
Man goes to a lot of work to look that cheerful.
What? Is there an altar boy under the table who licks his bulla during the broadcast?
Oh, it's far worse than that.
Doug laced his voice with disgust.
Or it was the one time he interviewed me.
He repositioned his bishop to trap Singh's king behind a row of pawns.
A goat? It's amazing he's got anything left.
Greg looked astonished in spite of his poker face and moved one of his pawns forward to provide an escape.
Clown pants.
Doug muttered the words as he took the pawn with his other rook, boxing the king in and baiting a trap that would give him mate in one move.
What?
Greg looked at him quizzically and unthinkingly took the bait.
Clown pants.
Doug let a broad grin creep across his face.
The man wears large, floppy, yellow and purple polka-dotted clown pants while he's broadcasting.
Greg blinked blindly for a couple of moments, and then, despite his best attempts to hold it in, his laughter broke free and echoed through the chamber. Doug held his move for a moment, not wanting to spoil his colleague's revelry. The screen showed the cluster of microphones right in front of the immense sliding wood-paneled doors that marked the west entrance to the Capitol. Doug reached out to the control pad and toggled the volume on.